Now, I must make a correction. I've heard a few times since I came here that I'm here replacing John Meakin. I want to tell you that is an utter falsehood. I am not replacing John Meakin. In fact, one of the reasons I wanted to come to this conference in the first place was to hear John Meakin. So I'm just as disappointed as you are. But since I've said that, I really do want to thank the brethren of this assembly that would have enough confidence to ask me here, and I appreciate it. So with that, I'd like to look in the book of Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And I want to read a few verses here. Verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half-tribe. Verse 5, and the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jehunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet has trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jehunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jehunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because he had wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now over to chapter 20 for a couple of verses. In chapter 20 and verse 1, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. In verse 7, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. In chapter 21, then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And verse 11, and they came, gave them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is city is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. Now I just want to go back to chapter 15 for a couple verses. Chapter 15 and we'll read it, verse 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. And he went up, verse 15, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it to him will I give Ashsoth my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kezez, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave unto him Asa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper and the nether springs. read quite a bit, but I would like to speak, Brother McCandless wouldn't come out and say it, but I'll say it. I want to speak today about old people. Now, don't laugh, because if the Lord blesses you and you eat a little healthier than I have, you'll become one. Now, when you become one, there's some choices you're not going to have. Whether you wear glasses or not is not your choice. The color of your hair, if you have any, is not your choice. But you do have a choice on what kind of an old person you will be. That is your choice. And I think, so God bless all these young people here, but I think it would do you good, you know, if you went down to the local senior citizen home and just take a walk through. Take a look at them. And say to yourself, which one do I want to be like? You're going to find all kinds there. You'll find grouchy ones. You'll find some that's sad. We're here. But you know, we were just down in Florida, and Dick Westlake from Toronto, Ohio, has a sister in a home down there. Dave, Nettie, and I went to visit her a couple times. What a joy. She's in a senior home down in Florida. And when we went in to see her, we took her a bouquet of flowers, and when we come out, she had given us far more sweet-smelling things than we gave her. What a pleasant person to be around. But take a look. And we talked about this old man. Here's an old man. And would you like to be like this man? But it doesn't start at 85. It started when he was a young man. And whatever you want to be when you're an old person, start it now. Start it when you're young. What did this man have? He had a vision. He had a vision. And 45 years before this, when Moses sent him into the country to spy it out, that man walked across that land of Hebron, and he saw Hebron, and he got Hebron in his heart, and he said, "That's mine. That's mine." He wanted it. That was his vision. Something that God would give him. Not what somebody else gave him, but he got it from God. What kind of a man was he? How did he get that way in his old age? Well, let's take a look. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as was in my heart. Crossed that land of Hebron. And he saw Hebron. And he got Hebron in his heart. And he said, "That's mine. That's mine." He wanted it. That was his vision. Something that God would give him. Not what somebody else gave him, but he got it from God. What kind of a man was he? How did he get that way in his old age? Well, let's take a look. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as was in my heart. That's what I want you to see. It was heart. He was true-hearted. Whatever that man had in his heart was on his lips. That man was a true-hearted man, and he was a true-hearted man for God. I brought him word again. He said that was in my heart. What else was he? Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. What was he? Wholehearted. Wholehearted. You know what that means, don't you? Everything. Wholehearted. Everything for God. But there's another holy. What does that little foreword mean? Holy. If you said to someone, if I ask you, how do you describe a holy person? A holy man? A holy, how would you say that? Well, I think if you just translate it the way it is here, what? Holy. Everything for God. That's what a holy person is. And that's what he was. Holy in mind, holy in deed, everything for God. Then in verse 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet is trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because I was wholly followed the Lord my God. What was he? Simple-hearted. You see, he only had 2 days in his life. He had a day 45 years before when this man looked at that land and he said, in that day they promised it to me. And 45 years later, he says, this day, I want to claim what God gave me. Isn't that a way to live? That day, this day, only we reverse it. You know what we live for? We live this day in view of that day. It's coming for everyone. It's coming for me. And I don't fear it. But I won't say. What a simple thing to do. You know what it'll make me do if I'm looking for that day? It'll keep me right today. If I say something unkind to someone, you know what? Get that right today. If temptation comes into my life today, how do I treat it? As if any time? No, that day. Max, how are you going to do it today in view of that day? And that's the way every one of us should live this day for that day. And you notice in the verse, at the end of verse 2, of the verses 8 and 9, my God, the Lord, my God. It wasn't our God or the God. He made that his God. And that comes with a little bit of experience. And he could say that God is my God. What he believed, he claimed. And every day in that wilderness trail, he lived for this day. But then verse 11, as I was as that strong that day as I was in the day that Moses sent me out, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war to both go out and to come in. What is this? He's strong-hearted. Strong-hearted. He wasn't a defeatist. He wasn't going to go to war and say, I got to go to war and if I get back. He said, I'm going out to fight and I'll be back. He was a strong-hearted and a willful man that he was going to take it for God. And every day he walked in that wilderness, he appreciated. You know, do we appreciate what God gives us? We were just talking at noon to the people around us. I hope you don't take today for granted. I don't. I can tell you, I sit at the Lord's table, and the first thing I do when I go in every day, every Lord's day, I look at the table. And I sit there and I can hardly believe that I'm there. Ungodly wretch, like this woman they were talking about, no better. And to think that I'm sitting at the Lord's table, I hope I never get used to that. I hope every experience of that Lord's day is a wonderful experience to be seated in his presence, strong-hearted, to go out and go back. And you know what he believed in his youth? He believed in his old age. You know, I just came from Tampa. This dear man, the personal testimony of Anthony Orsini. I only knew the man for just a few short years in his last of his life. But I'll tell you, the last pictures I have of him is going outside beside his new car he got 2 years ago, and he got all the new gospel texts on it. The back seat was filled with tracts, and he gave away more tracts, that man, than anybody I know of. And it says, and Fred King wrote this thing, it says there, and we all who knew him, he and a tremendous help, not a help in the assembly, a tremendous help in the assembly. And 4 days before he died, his pain was so bad that he had to go to the hospital and have around-the-clock care. And that man, I heard him, he was the one that took part in the meetings. When I was at the conference, he brought the only one that brought two unsaved people. Do you want me to tell you, before I finish it, how old he was? 97. 97 years of age. And 4 days before he died, on October the 14th, a faithful brother and loved nothing better than the gospel on Friday, October the 10th, had just 4 days before he went to be with the Lord, while witnessing to the one of the young nurses that nursed him, he let her the unspeakable joy of leading that woman to Christ. And he said to her, please phone Fred and tell him before I go. I want to hear Fred tell. I want to hear what he says. 97 years of age. I'll tell you, was he sitting on it? Don't tell old people to take it easy. Some people say, I'll take it easy. That's the problem. That's the problem. I just want to go over to chapter 20. And excuse me here. I just want to use a little bit of imagination for my next point. He got Hebron. He loved it. 45 years and he got it. And he's in the place. And then a knock comes to the door. And he goes to the door and he opens it up. And there's the Lord. Come in, Lord. He comes in. Well, Caleb, you got your place. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. It's far better than I ever thought. I suppose you have plans for it. Oh, yeah, I got plans. Well, Caleb, there's just one thing. What's that, Lord? I'd like it back. You'd like it back? I'd like it back. Lord, there's nobody I would sooner give it to than you. You can have it back. We'll move out in the morning. Oh, no, 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 Caleb, don't. No, no, I don't want you to move out. I want you to stay here. But I know you got plans for it, but really, Caleb, they're pretty small. I got plans for this place with you in it. And you know what when I've read this for years, what my mind goes, I think it was Brother Murray talking about, did the Lord ever speak to you? I will never in my life forget. I was saved at 27. I never read the Bible. The only time I ever read the Bible to my knowledge in 27 years, I went to the show Samson and Delilah, and at the end of it, old man got up and said, it shall be written in the book of Judges. And I went home and I found the Bible, and I looked up the index and I found the Judges, and I read the story and I was really amazed. It was in this Bible after all. That's all I can ever remember, reading the Bible. And on April the 4th, 1960, God saved my precious soul. And I wish I could boast to you that I do it now. But I would get this book, and I didn't even hardly know what an epistle was. And I would start to read, and I'd read at 11 and 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had to get up at 6 to go to work, but I couldn't put it down. And this one night about 11:30, sitting all alone, reading the Word of God for the first time in my life, I read these words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I was shocked. And I read it again. And I put the Bible down, and I walked around the room. And I was absolutely shocked. And I stopped, and I said, he's not interested in what I give him. He's not interested in what I do for him. He wants me. He wants me. I'll never forget it. And here's Caleb. No, no, don't get out, Caleb. I want to make your home a city of refuge. There's people out there that's committed very serious, terrible crimes, and the avenger of death is after them, and they're going to die. But I want to make your place a safe haven. I want to make your place, if they can only get inside your gates, if they get to your place, you can make them safe. You have information. You can keep them. Does the neighbors know that you have the news of safety for them? That's convicting to me. How many times in your life that you've been saved has there been a knock come to the door? Can you help me? I know you're a Christian. And remember this, Caleb. You're going to be vulnerable. You can't close the gates. It might be 3 in the morning when they come. The gate's got to be open. Do they come at 3 in the morning? In 49 years, it happened twice. Would to God it had happened 900 times. It just shows how far that I would be away from the Lord. But you know, he came to this place. Would you do that? Would you be that? Now I just want to go to chapter 20. Or 21. And if you let me again, another little knock. And the Lord comes in. Now he says, Caleb, how's it going? Oh, Lord, it's great. I have one more request. He said, you know, my servants, the Levites, they didn't get the same inheritance as the other tribes got. And I would like to have your place a place where they can come and you look after them. You feed them, you look after them, and care for them. I want you to do that. Your place is open to the servants of the Lord. And the servants of the Lord will hear, they'll tell you, that's true. But you know, I want to make it a little bigger than that. You know, I get around to a few places. And I can tell you that I've never been treated so kind and loving by the Lord's people. They'll let you use their car. They'll wash your dirty socks. They'll get up at 4 in the morning and take you to the airport. It happens this dear couple down here. I owe them so much for what they do for me. But that's not a figure of speech. 4 o'clock in the morning, dear Cooley gets up and Jeff and take me to the airport. You know, that's where it hits the pavement. You know, that's the real thing. You know, wholehearted for God? Are we wholehearted for God? I just wrote down here, I thought of this in the minute. You know, the door that's almost shut will let in the crook. The ship that will almost float will sink. The man that will almost fight is a coward. Believest thou almost? Thou shalt be saved almost. Half-hearted business for God will not work. And I just want to take a couple minutes in chapter 15 and let you see that this runs in the family. And all you young people here today, I'm so glad you're here. Because this is where it starts, you know. Here's this man, Caleb, and he's got a daughter. And this daughter, there's a lot of boys around. My, she's beautiful. And Caleb wanted the best for his daughter. And I can tell you this, every one of you young people, because they were young, because he said, whoever takes this city, I'll give them my daughter to wed. So you know they were young people, young men. You know, we had five children. And we wanted the best for them. And not that that we were looking for a partner that was good looking or good job or good money. But what are they for God? That's the important thing. And that's what your parents, even though they go around it in a different way, that's what they want for you. They want you to get a partner in life that's for God first. And your Christian friends do that. And your assembly. That's what they want as well. And as Caleb looked at all these young fellows, he said there was a city up there. And the big giants were in it. The uncircumcised, the ungodly people. And he looked around and he said, whoever goes up and takes that city for God, I'll give them my daughter to wife. Okay, boys? Boy. I think a lot of them disappeared. But one young man stood up and he said, I'll go up and I'll take it. I don't know how he did it, but he took it. And he came back and he gave him his daughter to wife. You know, I just hope that that's what happens to you. And here's this young couple. And I want to say, I'm no counselor. But I'll tell you, I do marry some people. I got to marry someone 2 weeks from today. But you know, I'm not putting out a resume here. The ones that asked me to marry are people that we've been in homes, and they've been in our home, and we've got to know them, and our home was open. I remember in 2004, my wife and I went to Ukraine, and I was kind of instrumental in seeing 17 other young people, most of them girls, I think 14 girls, go to Ukraine. And you know, they were there and they had a wonderful time. My granddaughter was one of them, and when they come back, our conference is in November, and I got an email. And this one girl was emailing the rest of all of them. And they said, you know, she said, we've been thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had a Ukraine reunion? And I read that. And I said, you know, Oil Springs Conference is in November. Let's do it there. And this is what I enjoyed. And we'll stay at the McLean's. That's when I got news of it. You know what made me feel good? They didn't have to ask. It was open. And I went down and I put up things. 14, they were all in the basement. I had a bedroom there and one there and out in the here. And I had all these curtains up. And I had to go down later that night to get something. I think there was 14 came. When I went down, all my hard work, that was all tore down. The bedrooms were out, and they were all in the one room. And dear David Boyce from East Aurora was staying in my little computer room. We had a little single cot with there for him. And I said, David, you're going to have an awful night tonight because these girls are going to talk all night. And he just looked at me and said, well, Max, I'll sleep. And he took out both his hearing aids. It was all right. But you know what this young girl did? She said, Father. She came to her father. And she said, Father, you give us the Southland. That's the side that the sun beats on. And I was in that land, and it's a dry, dry land. She said, Father, you put us in a Southland. We can't live on that. You need to give us water. Listen, God has put us in a Southland. I know we're in a beautiful, wonderful country, but it's a south land. It will not feed you. It will not nourish you. You will die if you live spiritually off what's out there. But God has been blessed. And what did he do? What did Cato do? He gave her the upper and the nether springs. And tell me what that means. And I've just been simple enough to say the upper springs. He gave them the spirit of, he gave us the spirit of God. And he gave us the nether springs right here in my hand. He gave us the word of God and the spirit of God. And you know what? That'll keep us in this ungodly world.